Thank you, ladies. Thank you, congregation. Great singing this morning. Good to hear you all. If you open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. As we continue our walk through the book of 1 Peter, we'll look at, as Peter discusses the context of being responsible, responsibility of holy people. We have discussed chapter 1. Chapter 1 talked about salvation, the kind of salvation that we have as people of God, what God has called us to be, and the salvation that God has given to us, the glorious, joyous salvation, where it came from, how we got it, why God gave it to us, why He died on the cross, and why we needed salvation. And then we walked through chapter 2 and how to live as holy people, why we needed to live as holy people, and renouncing the things of life. Peter walked us through in chapter 2 and renouncing our hypocrisy, our jealousy, our envy, our strife and anguish, and how we needed to build a relationship with Christ, and then how we needed to respect authority. And then finally, he told us that we had a role model in Christ. And that role model in Christ is that Christ suffered and died on the cross, and that as we walk through that life of suffering, as we walk through some type of suffering, that we're walking through something that Christ walked through as well. That suffering is not something that we should be upset about or distraught over, but that we need to understand that Christ went through suffering also, and that suffering can be used for good. And that Christ was the sinless Savior, and that Christ was the one that He did not revile, even though He was reviled against. In other words, when He was mocked and ridiculed and picked on, and when He was accused and accusations were made against Him, and when he was spit on and beaten, and all of those things were done to Him, you know what He did? Nothing. He did nothing. That's what the Bible says. He did nothing. Nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible prophesied about that all the way back in Isaiah chapter 53. That Christ would do nothing. He would just stand there and take it. And Peter says that Jesus did that because He left it. Well, let's look at that right at the end of chapter 3 or chapter 2. He says here in verse 23, He did not threaten, but entrusted, in verse 23 of chapter 2, but did not threaten, but entrusted Himself to the one who judges justly. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that when things come in your life that causes you great distress and great turmoil, great anguish, great pain, great suffering, whatever, when that comes, how do you deal with it? Take it out on the person? Do you go after the person? Do you go after someone else? Or do you turn it over to the one who judges justly? See, the Bible says that Jesus, our role model, who suffered, turned it over to the one. It says He entrusted it to the one who judges justly. Well, that would have to be and mean that Jesus turned it over to His Father. And if Jesus turned it over to His Father, God in heaven, guess who you should turn it over to as well? Huh. And so we learned about being a role model and what it means to be a role model and how Jesus bore our sins to the cross. And He was wounded for us, so that we could have that eternal life. And that as we were sheep wandering around all over the place, He gathered us back into Himself. And so Peter, as Peter has walked us through that glorious salvation, and as Peter walked us through how to live as holy people, Peter then says, Here you go. Now that you understand your salvation, now you understand what it means to live as holy people, now you've got some responsibilities. It's great to know why you have salvation. It's great to know how to live as holy people, but now you need to know what to do with that stuff. So here's the responsibilities. And you know, it's really interesting. God's worked this out really well, because when I decided to preach through 1 Peter, I just picked a date to start this, and I was going to start in February, and then it got pushed off, and I started in March, and then I said, man, Easter is going to hit, and the message I preached on Easter was perfect because it fell right in 1 Peter chapter 1. And then here's Mother's Day, and it fell right on 1 Peter chapter 3, which is about women and mothers. It's wise, but it works. It still works well. And so next week's about men. It's about husbands, and that's not Father's Day, but it's okay. We'll still make it work. But it's just interesting how God's made all those things work. Well, I don't preach next week, so it doesn't really matter. But I'm just saying, it's interesting how God made all those things work. So let's take a look at what Peter has to say. And let's talk about the responsibility of wives. Read with me this morning in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you'll stand in honor of God's word as we read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that even if some disobey the Christian message, they may be won over without a message by the way their wives live, when they observe your pure, reverent life. Your beauty shall not consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold ornaments or fine clothes. Instead, it should consist of what is inside the heart, with the imperishable qualities of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very valuable in God's eyes. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also beautified themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have become her children when you do what is good and are not frightened by anything alarming. Our great Father God in heaven, as we now come before your word, may you hide me behind your cross. May you open our hearts and minds to hear your message this morning. May we listen intently and cautiously to what you say. May we put nothing into it, and may we take everything out of it. In your great precious name, amen. You may be seated. I want us to start out in the beginning of this by looking at the very beginning in the first four words, in the same way. In the same way, again, just like I mentioned last week, I looked at those first four words there and I said to myself, what is Peter saying when he says in the same way? And I know that you probably have a different version and maybe it says something a little different, but I'm reading from the Holmans. And so when I see that in the Holmans, in the same way, what that says to me is that Peter is talking about something that we need to pay attention to in the same way. And I look at that and I say, in the same way, and I say, what's he mean? In the same way. And I said, I think that he is talking about Christ in his example. In the same way. In the same way that Christ submitted himself to the subordinate leadership of God. In the same way that we just saw Jesus be a role model in the previous passage of Scripture, Peter is saying in the same way, women should be in that same role. Now, I do want to be clear that Peter also gives us that same illustration for men. So don't be upset, ladies, but we're talking about you this morning. In the same way, we need to be role models. You need to be role models. You know, it's very much like what we just read out of Proverbs this morning in Proverbs 31. Think about what kind of role model you have been for your children. Now, I know as your children grow up, at one age, when they're young, they think you're heroes, don't they? And they think you're mothers, you could do anything, don't they? I mean, to them, you are a superstar. You can cook and you can clean and you can wash the clothes and you can take them here and there and yon. And for all they know, you've got you can run 100 million miles an hour and you can run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You never sleep. You're super mom, right? That's all they know. And then it's like a switch flips on. They get to a certain age and then they don't think you can do anything. And then they get to a certain age and they realize they need you for everything. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, guys, right? You know what I'm talking about. We all know what we're talking about, and that's not just guys, because even ladies, as you got older, you realized that you needed your mother when you got older, didn't you? I mean, we all know what we're talking about. We all have mothers, right? Everybody have a mother, amen? Right? Anybody here not have a mother? If you don't have a mother, then you need to come talk to me because I need to know how you did that. Because that would be pretty awesome. I want to know how you did that. Okay? There's only one or two people I know that didn't have mothers, and they're not here today, and that's Adam and Eve. All right? Other than that, everybody's had a mother, as far as I know. So, you know, so we all know, I mean, that's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate, right? You know, there we are. And so in the same way, and I think that when we read that in the scripture, we have to be careful that we don't take that out of context, that we just repass that in the same way. In the same way, we just move on in the scripture in the same way. What's he talking about? He's talking about in the previous passage of scripture in chapter 2, in the same way, looking at what Christ did, looking at the example of Jesus Christ in the same way that Christ was the example, as he suffered at the cross, as he didn't revile, as he gave it up to God in that same way as mothers, in the same way as wives, in the same way, you have to do the same thing that Christ did. That's the same thing. The same way you have to be. Same way. The same way. Same way, wives, submit yourselves. So when we add the rest of that together, it makes a lot of sense. Submit yourselves to your husbands so that. So when we compile that whole passage of Scripture together, it makes a lot of sense. In the same way, like Christ, you submit yourselves to your husband so that when they don't understand the Word of God, they will see through your role model example what it means to be a Christian. Now, here's the problem. Here's what Peter is addressing. Peter is addressing women. And we don't have this. We didn't have this a lot in the probably in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, maybe even in the early days. I say the early days, you know, they'd be like the early 1900s, whatever. Because a lot of people really stuck to the not marrying, not being unequally yoked. You know, if you weren't a Christian, you didn't marry a non-believer. But today, that's not true, is it? Today, you find people just getting married. You got Christians marrying non-believers. And matter of fact, for a long time, you didn't even find people getting married that weren't of the same denomination, even. And that was almost as bad as marrying somebody from the opposite race. And then that's not even really true anymore today. And listen, that causes problems because there's a lot of differences in beliefs. So in Peter's day, here's what's happening. In Peter's day, though, what Peter's addressing is not a problem of men and women marrying because one is a Christian and one's not a Christian. What Peter's addressing is that people were married and one got saved and the other one didn't. Many of you may have experienced that as you grew up. Maybe when you got married, you weren't Christians to start with and one of you got saved. And then later along in life, the other one got saved. That's the same situation that Peter is addressing. Maybe you know somebody that's in this situation where the spouse is saved and the other spouse is not saved, and there's great struggle. This is a passage of Scripture that they ought to look at. Because this passage of Scripture, what Peter is addressing here, is saying that by living your life as an example like Christ lived his life, in that example, by that example, you can lead someone to the Lord just by how you live your life. Notice here in this example, Peter is not talking anything about saying that you need to run your mouth, that you need to try to beat him with the Bible or anything. He just says what? Live like Christ. In the same way, that's what he said at the beginning, in the same way, submit yourselves, because he's talking to wives here, so he's following the example of Paul, where Paul says in Ephesians, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, for this is right in the sight of the Lord. But then he goes on and says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and Christ died for the church, so husbands, you should die for your wives. And there's a lot of husbands who would never die for their wives. Oh, they'll say they would, but they wouldn't. Just watch the way they act around them. They treat them like dirt. That's terrible. We call ourselves Christians. What kind of example are we setting? Wives, love your husbands. Because by that example, Peter says, they may be won. Notice here he says, if some disobey the Christian message, some don't follow the Christ, they're not following Christ, they may be won over without a message by the way you live. See there? There's the key. Without you speaking, just by how you live your life. I heard tell of a lady one time. I can't remember where this was at. I heard this through passing. You know, it's one of these things that you hear. You go to a conference and you hear a pastor talk about this from another guy who heard it from another guy who heard it from another guy. So I can't give credit to wherever I heard it from. Just know that I heard it from someplace. Amen. But I heard tell of a pastor who at the end of a service was given an invitation, and this lady come down the aisle and she said, Pastor, she's a member of the church. She said, Pastor, I need you to pray for my husband because he's just not a Christian, and I need you to pray for him that he'll accept Christ. The pastor said, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pray for your husband. I'm shocked. I mean, you'd be shocked too, right? Amen. She says, I'm not going to do it. And she said, well, why not? He said, because you are not living your life like a Christian. Your husband will never accept Christ until you change your life. Your life is totally not an example of a Christian. Wow, she was just shocked and flabbergasted, first of all, that a pastor would even say things like that, because, you know, we don't ever expect pastors to just be point blank with us. We expect them to just tell us all the good things and never tell us bad stuff. We fire those pastors when they tell us the bad stuff. And anyway, so she went on, and she was gone a couple, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, and he didn't see her come to the altar, and finally one day she came to the altar, and she was weeping, and confessed several things to the pastor. And her life began to change. Pastor said he could see different things in her life, just in the church life and what went on. And several weeks went by, and all of a sudden, here come her husband. See, if you change the way you live, that lifestyle can be a reflection for other people to see. But you cannot expect other people to accept Christ if your lifestyle will still be the way of the world. That is what Peter is talking about right here. And I know that we're talking to mothers and we're talking about mothers today, but listen, that is an encouragement and a word for everyone. That is a word and encouragement for everyone. He said, then they observe your pure, relentless lives. He also goes on here in verse 3, he says, your beauty should not consist of outward things, by what you put in and put on and all your clothes and all that stuff, but what is inside your heart. Now listen, I want you to understand something. Some people will take this verse and say, see, this verse right here means that you can't wear makeup and you can't wear nice things and you got to just look all dull and drab and whatever, and that's not what Peter's talking about. What Peter is saying is, what is in your heart is way more important than what is on your face. That's good stuff. Write that down. Don't know where that came from, but that's good stuff. What's in your heart is way more important than what's on your face. We spend more time worried about what we're driving, what we're wearing, what we got on our face, what we got on our head, what we got on our feet, what we got in our home than what we have in our hearts. Most people can't figure out where their Bibles are, but boy, they could sure tell you what they got in their CDs right down to the penny. And they haven't looked at those things in 10 years because they're 15-year CDs. But they can't find their Bibles. All right, I'm sure they ain't got one. That says a lot about where your heart is. And I want you to understand something. The rich man said, tonight I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And today Jesus said, tonight your heart is required of you. So you just decide what's more important for you. You decide what's important for you. Is raising your children right? Is that important to you? Is being obedient right? Is that important to you? Is following God, is that important to you? Is being the Psalms 31 kind of woman, is that important to you? Because those things are the important things in life. Being the godly woman that God has called you to be, that's the important thing for you. What has God said to you? That's the important thing for you. Because I got news for you. In the end, all that happens is the family fights over everything you have left. What is important to you? You know, one of the greatest joys, and I don't want to make this a somber type thing, but I think this is a great place to say this, to illustrate this. One of the greatest joys that I get, even though it's sad in many cases, is what I got to do on Friday. Because I got to see a dear sister go to be home with the Lord. But one of the greatest things about that is I got to say that her kids knew Christ. And I got to know that she spent her life talking to people about Christ. And I knew that. And many of the people that were here knew that. But I can tell you right now that I have laid people in the ground who I've had family say, well, yeah, they accepted Christ, but that's it. And let me tell you, that's a whole different kind of service. That's a whole different kind of deal. When you can't say anything about how they lived their life and how they affected people for Jesus. Mothers, what do you want people to say about you when you're in that place? Whether it's one person that sits here to remember you or it's a packed auditorium. How are you affecting people for Christ? Because ultimately, that's what's important. It's not all the things that you have. That's what Peter is kind of illustrating here. It's not all the things that you have. Instead, he says in verse 4, it should consist of what is inside the heart with the imperishable qualities, listen to this, of gentleness and a quiet spirit, which are very valuable in God's eyes. Do you hear that? Let me read that to you again. Gentle and a quiet spirit, which are valuable in God's eyes. God's not looking for a crazy lady. God's not looking for somebody who can run around and cook well. God's not looking for somebody who can take care of the fine. God's not looking for somebody who can run around and organize this, that, or the other. He's not looking for the perfectionist. He's looking for somebody with a gentle and a quiet spirit. You know why? Because that's a person who will listen to him and be obedient and do what he's asked them to do. That's the kind of ladies that God is looking for. Those are the kind of ladies, those are the kind of mothers, those are the kind of wives, those are the kind of women that God is looking for, because they will then do as God has asked. They will be submissive to their husbands. They will be those kind of role models that will follow the example of Christ. That's who God is looking for. I love the way the Holman puts that. Valuable in God's eyes. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also beautified themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed, calling him Lord. You know, that word submit, we find it here again. We found it in the beginning, submit yourselves. We find it here, submit. Put their hope, it says in verse 5, put their hope in God. Notice that that's first, put their hope in God before submitting to their husbands. Ladies, I want to let you know that if your hope is in God, you can submit to everything else without any trouble. And I know sometimes that when you see that word submit, it brings up all kinds of things that we think of in authority. And I'm going to be bringing him a soda every day while he sits on the couch and watches TV. And I got to serve him bonbons and cakes and cookies. And I'll be his slave right down to cutting his toenails. And that's not what the word submit means. Gentlemen, that's not what the word submit means. I already told you the Bible says that husbands love your wives and Christ loved the church, and Christ didn't love the church like that. Remember how Christ loved the church, that he took his clothes off and he put on a towel and he got down and he washed the feet of the servants, of the disciples. That's how he loved the church. So maybe you ought to wash your wives' feet. Maybe you ought to go home, husbands, and get down on the floor and wash your wives' feet. I don't see very many husbands thinking that's a good idea. I see some wives that are kind of chuckling about that deal. Put on the loincloth and... Anyway. I just want you to understand how much Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church that he was subservient. He was a servant. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I come to serve. I tell you that because I want you to understand that just because the word submit is being used here for a wife doesn't mean that she becomes your slave. That's what I want you to understand, gentlemen. And ladies, I want you to understand that because it says submit doesn't mean that you can have to, that you do everything at their beck and call, but it also doesn't mean that because I've just said that you don't have to do anything. Because even Sarah, as we read in the Bible, still obeyed her Lord, which is Abraham. And she called him Lord. And she respected him. And she respected his decisions. And she respected his authority. And she respected everything about him. But yet they were a team and they worked together and they loved one another to the point that God used them in a great and mighty way. Amen? And so that's the way it works. That's the way it works, that we work together as a team. And we find here that if you will submit to the hope of God, women who put their hope in God also beautify themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah. And you know, this is not the only place, because Paul also uses Sarah and Abraham as the example. It's really funny, because Abraham and Sarah were not the perfect example of a marriage, were they? Let me give you the rundown, just in case you forgot what Abraham and Sarah did. So, first of all, they're half-brother and sister. Hello. Now, keep in mind, that wasn't the wrong thing back then. Today, we don't do that. But back then, that wasn't a bad thing. But Sarah was his half-sister. And so then they went off to Egypt, and he said, hey, when you get here, tell them you're my sister so that I don't get killed, Abraham said. And so he just kind of pawned his wife off as a sister, and she almost slept with somebody else, and that was a bad thing, and God stopped that deal. And he did that twice, by the way. And then when they didn't have a child, she gave up a handmaiden to Abraham, and he had a child, remember that, Ishmael, right, by the handmaiden and so on. And I mean, so they didn't have the perfect marriage like we would think that they really had, right? There was some turmoil there because when Ishmael come along, then Sarah got angry about that. Now, wait a minute, whose idea was that? It wasn't Abraham's idea to sleep with a handmaiden, it was Sarah's, but she got mad at him. Turmoil in the marriage relationship, right? But you know what? God still uses him because the Holy Spirit is the one that writes the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the one that lays out what's in there. And the Holy Spirit says, these are the couple. This is the couple that I want to use is the marriage couple that I want to illustrate with. And God says, Abraham and Sarah is the couple. Because even in all of that, Sarah still says, I love Abraham. I still respect him. I still call him Lord. He is still the love of my life. Ladies, the love of your life. We find here that she submitted to her husband. And we and you should submit just as Abraham, as Sarah did, calling him Lord. You have become her children when you do what is good. When you've accepted Christ, you become in that same family. When you do what is good and they are not frightened by anything alarming. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing. Not frightened by anything alarming. What does that mean? Not frightened by anything alarming. Does that mean that, you know, if a big snake comes along, you don't get scared? I mean, you know, if it's a big snake, I get scared. I'll just be honest with you. If it's a little snake, I get scared. I wouldn't have the courage of Catherine. I wouldn't have pulled out a knife and chopped that thing. I'd have ran. I'd have been like Mrs. Francis. I'd have ran after I screamed and ran and screamed some more. I don't know. That chopping it up with a knife, you know, what does that mean? I think that means that you stand strong in the face of adversity. You stand strong in the face of what God puts before you. You stand strong because as a woman who has been placed here by God, you know that your hope is placed in God. That's why it says that your hope is in God, and because of that, you can submit to your husband. Because of that hope, you can stand strong in God. And so we find that our responsibility, ladies, our responsibilities as holy people is to be submissive, is to be a person that lives a responsible life that is reflective of the role model that Christ has set for us. One that exemplifies all of the things that Christ did for us. That lives like Christ lived and lives like Christ died. Turning over the issues and the circumstances to God. I still remember vividly the movie Prayer, War Room. And if you haven't seen that movie, we have it. We'll loan it out to you and you can watch it. But that movie War Room, and I remember in that movie when the realtor came to the lady who was going to sell her house, and they got talking, and she was talking about the arguments they were having, and the lady said to the realtor, well, have you turned it over to God? And she just kind of looked at her and she said, I let God do all of my fighting. See, because when you do the fighting, you will always lose, but God never loses the battle. God never loses the battle. And we find that when Jesus was in the midst of his turmoil, he did what? He turned it over to the one who could judge justly. That is the example that we have to follow, is to turn it over to the one who can judge justly. What kind of example, ladies, will we set forth? Will we turn it over to the one that can judge justly? Will we allow the things to infiltrate our heart? Will we let our heart be the one that is full? Or are we going to let our outward example be the example? What are we going to allow the world to see? What will we allow our family to see? What will we allow people to see? Will we allow the hope of God to be in our life? Will we allow the hope of God to be in our life? So that you can stand up to what is good and not be frightened when those crazy things come. Because listen, when those crazy things come, and let me tell you, when the crazy things come, you betcha, the crazy things will come. When they come, how will you handle those things? You will only be able to handle those things if you place your hope and trust in God. Mothers, we know crazy things come. And they come all the time. All the time. Where have you placed your hope and trust? Have you placed it in God? Or have you placed it in other stuff? Placed it in God? Or have you placed it in other stuff? Our great Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you once again for our mothers. And Lord, as we looked at the responsibilities of a Christian life of living a holy people, as we looked at mothers today, and as we love on our mothers today, Lord, we just thank you again so much for them. We know that today mostly was about mothers, but Lord, as we each think about how we've lived our life and how we're living our life, how does that life reflect you? What does that life reflect about you? What does it say about you? God, will you bring us to that place that says that I'll stand for you? Inwardly, I'll be all about you, so that my outward example will always shine Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you do. Lord, speak to us now as we come to the close of this service. May we hear your call and your voice. In your great, precious name. Amen.